If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Welcome back, Silver and Black Today, here on Raider Nation Radio on this beautiful, warm Wednesday in Las Vegas, Nevada, the capital of Raider Nation. What we're going to do now, we had a guest on the show about a year and a half ago. I was at a charity function here, Mike Ditka's charity function, taking care of older players and the legends and all of that, and saw Dr. McKee there, who is one of the head researchers into CTE at Boston University, and someone who works with her, Dr. Michael Olasco, from Boston University CTE Center, who studies the impact of repetitive head trauma, including those sustained by football players, was our guest. It was a fascinating discussion, and we like to check in with him from time to time to find out the latest. And so we bring in on the newsmaker line Dr. Michael Olasco. Doctor, thanks for being with us here on Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
All right, so you know we've talked about this, and everybody I think has gotten up to speed at least mostly about CTE and how scientists have long studied single traumatic brain injury and how that contributes to cognitive issues in life, later in life, depression, all these different things. But in those studies, researchers didn't always examine the possible role of repetitive impacts and how that impacts you later in life. Now, you just had a study, I believe it was in June, right? Your latest study, where you set out to explore that. Tell us a little bit about what you guys found and what we're seeing now as we study this more and more and understand it better.
Yeah, sure. So that's we're really excited by this study. So as you mentioned, our researchers have long focused on just a single traumatic brain injury, and our center has really been focusing on these repetitive head impacts. So these are repetitive head impacts that result in repetitive concussions, but also recurrent subconcussions or hits to the head that we think cause some type of brain injury but don't result in symptoms. These are the types of head impacts you often see in American football and other contact sports as well. So we recently tapped into the Brain Health Registry. This is an online registry of over 60,000 participants. It's based out of San Francisco. Anyone can visit it, but the purpose of it is to track people over time and assess their thinking and memory. And we looked at the association between people who reported having a history of repetitive head impact compared to those who did not in over 13,000 people. And we looked at their association with things like depression symptoms and thinking and memory. And we found that those who did have this history of repetitive head impact exposure had more depression symptoms as well as worse thinking and memory compared to those who did not have this history.
I know it hasn't been a long time, but the NFL has made a lot of changes as far as rules and trying to make it a little bit safer to try to eliminate some of that head trauma. How much of the results or research you've done, has it improved? Have you seen the improvement based off of the rule changes in the NFL?
Yeah, so I think those rule changes have done a great job with management of concussion. I think we've come a long way with the detection of concussion, with managing concussion, and I think that they've done a great job with that. The issue, though, what we're trying to solve here or tackle, so to speak, is these repetitive hits to the head. And these are just part of the game, and I'm not sure how you can modify, particularly a sport like American football, just because it's so inherent to the game. The sports like ice hockey, sports like soccer, those are sports where you can make some modifications, and they have been done to limit these types of hits to the head.
And again, we're talking to Dr. Michael Olasco from the Boston University CTE Center. And doctor, when we last talked, we went through the kind of basics of this, and people talk about better helmets and all that, but the helmet doesn't prevent the brain from moving when it has an injury or when it's struck or when it's moved, especially in the game of football in the United States, where you're wearing a helmet, and because of the repetitive nature of the game, it just happens. How much of that, though, is that something that we should continue doing to make safer equipment, to do all that? Or at the end of the day, is it just really about the simple act of the repetitive nature?
Right. So I think that, I think we need to continue to innovate, continue to explore technologies that can potentially help reduce some of the impact, some of the forces that these individuals experience, and hopefully that can reduce and play a role in reducing brain injuries. But like you said, helmet technology, I think it can only go so far in terms of how it can prevent the brain from moving around. It's going to be very challenging to do. But that doesn't mean we can't stop trying. I think we need to continue to try to innovate. But really, like, the efforts now are trying to mitigate risk. So we also published a study several months ago now where we tapped into Dr. McKee's Brain Bank, and we looked at people who came to the Brain Bank and the association between the number of years they played American football and its association with risk for CTE. And we found that the more years that the individuals, the brain donors, played, the higher the risk of CTE, their CTE was. I was just going to say, an interesting, one of the issues with the brain, with our brain bank and studying it is selection bias. That means that people who come to our brain bank are more likely to have CTE, and because they're more likely to have symptoms. But we actually modeled that in our results in our study, and we accounted for that, and we still found that this association between the amount of years you play football and your risk for CTE still held.
What is the earliest age that you guys start to detect and you start to see signs of, this guy is showing symptoms of having CTE?
The clinical presentation of the disease is what is less well understood. We have some reports on there where we start, on average, you can see symptoms in 30s or 40s. A lot of those symptoms tended to be problems with mood and behavior. If those symptoms are related to the actual disease of CTE or something else, is not clear. And then we also see symptoms of difficulties with thinking and memory that tend to begin, in the 60s, early 60s or so on average. Those are more common in a setting of a neurodegenerative disease like CTE. But really, we're trying to flesh out questions like this and really clarify what is the specific clinical presentation of this disease.
Dr. Michael Olasco from the Boston University CTE Center is with us here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. And doctor, you mentioned just a while ago about how the longer someone is exposed to these repetitive head traumas, the better chance they have. That makes, obviously, for those of us not in the scientific community, that makes a lot of sense. But I talk to a lot of NFL players, especially older NFL players, and even the younger players who I think are starting to think about, hey, you know what, if that is indeed the case, we know the risk when we go out and play football. We know the risk of CTE developing over time. And so might we see a time when players choose to have shorter careers because we understand this better?
Yeah, I think, as we need to learn more about the disease and conduct more studies, more rigorous studies, longitudinal studies, to really inform on risk. That paper I talked about before, it was, it doesn't apply to everyone. We don't know an individual's level of risk, but we do know that there's likely some risk there. So there are kind of campaigns out there, for example, led by Concussion Legacy Foundation, where they're really advocating for people to start later. And the kind of the point of that is, if you start later, you're reducing the number of years you are exposed. So there are efforts like that, and I think you will see continued efforts to try to reduce how much someone's exposed to these repetitive head impacts. But just like everything else in life, people engage in risky behaviors, and it's up to the kind of science to inform on what these risks lead to, so that the people are aware of them and can make their own decision at the same time.
Yeah, for me, doctor, as a father, I'm a strong believer in the delay, meaning that if the kids are going to play football, let them start later, especially with the growth of flag football, where they learn the game, they're learning everything they need to go out and play the tackle game. But when their brains are younger and they're developing and growing, limiting the opportunities for them to have an injury at an early age, where cognitively later in life they could see it much sooner, certainly is something that that I support personally. And are we starting to see, too, much more awareness amongst parents, amongst youth sports of this issue as well?
I would, based on what I hear through kind of similar outlets as you all probably is, I would say the answer to that is yes. I think there is a growing awareness to it, and I think that there is associated behavior changes due to this awareness, including declines perhaps in youth football or other types of programs like that. And I think it's because of the science that has begun to come out and show the risk associated with these repetitive head impacts.
Yeah, and we all love the game. We want it to stick around, and we want those that play it, including our own families, to be safe. And we certainly appreciate, Doctor, your work to do this research. It's vital research, and I know the world and the sport will be better for it. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dr. Michael Olosko from the Boston University CTE Center. And Q, you know, again, we all love football. We want the people that we love who play it, the people that we love to watch playing it, to be as safe as possible.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things, man, it's really tough because we know it's a gladiator sport.
Right.
And when you're involved in a gladiator sport, there's going to be a lot of head trauma. And when you have head trauma, you're going to get concussions. And when you get concussions, at some point, you're set up for CTE. And so it's the ugly part of something that we love. You know, it's an American pastime. We love football like no other. And, well, unfortunately, this is the ugly part of it. And so the NFL's been doing the best that they can. Youth sports have been doing the best that they can. Collegiate sports. Everyone's trying to make sure everybody is as safe as possible, but at the end of the day, it's a gladiator sport, and it's going to be a risk at all times.
Absolutely, and it's just good that we're all talking about it, and I love to see the league, and I know being around the Raiders and what they do to make sure safety is a top priority is also a big deal, so we appreciate Dr. Olosko. All right, Q, we're going on the phones, man. We
Let's-